Okay, we continue in the Ruz of the Shabbos. We're on page Pei Zayin, in the middle of this essay of going to the Mikvah on Erev Shabbos. And just we'll quickly summarize what we did last week. We're talking about the idea that the water represents the Legion Kosher, the difficult legion of Hashem. In other words, that is which Hashem uses to bring destruction into the world. And that's why it didn't say Kitov on the third day of on the second day of creation. However, on the third day of creation, it said Kitov twice, because Hashem said Yikavu Hamayim, let the water gather up into one place. And the other Medrash says that not only was this third day a correction for the problem of the water, but also the sixth day when man was created, it says Hashem said everything was Tov Ma'od, was very good. So it seems that there's two steps to the correction of the destruction of the water. It was when all the water was put into one place, and now there's ability for man to live on planet Earth. And number two, the human being is himself the tikkun of the world. And why is the human being the tikkun of the world? And what is the whole problem of water, and what is the symbolism over here? So we talked a lot about last week about having a focus, that everyone needs to have a focal point to provide them with meaning in life. And there's lots of different foci that people use in life. The only one that really is worthwhile as Jews is the focus to everything for the sake of heaven. And since a human being has a body and a soul, the soul is able to focus the body in doing everything l'shem shamayim, completely unified with Hashem. And that really is the ultimate tikkun, the correction of all the destruction in the world. The destruction in the world is when there's so many, Hashem's name Elohim, which is a plural name, seems to show there's so many different forces that are competing in this world that are in conflict with each other. And that is where all destruction comes. There's evil, good, there's all kinds of things in this world. And the water represents that plurality that exists, and that was the second day of creation. Second day is the second number that shows plurality. Water is what symbolizes that. And if people make mistaken decisions based on that, the water will destroy them. So the tikkun for that came when the water came into one place, Yikavu Hamayim, which is the same shoresh as the word mikveh, which means to gather into one place. So gathering into one place began the tikkun of putting the water in one place, which thereby enabled man to live on planet Earth. And man, because of his godly soul, is able to take all the different things that are in this world and focus them to Hashem and bring unity back into the world. And that is the tikkun from the world, that everything works harmoniously towards giving honor to Hashem. So now he continues on the bottom of Pei Zayin Amud Aleph, and now he's going to lay down a mystical understanding based on the Vilna Gaon, which will help us proceed. So on the bottom of Pei Zayin. Naktim es divrei hagrozal v'od kadmoni. Let's preface by bringing the words of the Vilna Gaon and other early rabbis. Dahanit mikva nirmaz be'echad ha'pu'ulos al shem. Now it says Aleph Kuf Yud Kuf. You don't want to write Hashem's name. It's really a hey. Aleph Hey Yud Hey, which is Ehayeh. The mikvah hints to one of the active names of Hashem, which is called Ehayeh. When Moshe said to Hashem, what will I tell the Jewish people? Who sent me? Hashem says, Ehayeh Asher Ehayeh. The one that is, Ehayeh means I will be where I will be. I will be what I will be. That is the name you will send me of to the Jews, that's what Hashem is coming. So that word Ehayeh, that's one of the Hainu the Echad Mina Ofanim Shel Sir Shem Eheyeh Bimiloa Behei Hu Begamatria Mikvah. If you take the word Eheyeh, and I gotta have a little pen and paper in your mind. Okay. Eheyeh, the Gematria of Eheyeh. Now, there is two ways of doing Gematria. Take the letter, Aleph Hey, Yud and Hey. Then we take it Bimiluo in its completed form, meaning to say Aleph. The word Aleph is spelled Aleph Lamed Fei. Aleph. Aleph. So if you take the gematria now of Eheyeh, which is Aleph, Aleph Lamed Fei, Hey, which is either Hey Aleph or Hey Hey, depending how you're going to use it, Yud, which is Yud Vav Dalid, and another Hey, you add all those other, it comes out to 151. The name of Ehaya, just trust us, is 151, which is the same gematria as the word mikvah. Mikvah is 40, kuf is 100, vav is 6, hey is 5, that's 151. So you see the word Ehaya has the same gematria of 151 of mikvah, hu begemer tira mikvah. We have to understand what does the concept of Ehaya mean and how does that relate to mikvah. Alright, so what the Vilna Gaon is revealing to us is that Ehaya and mikvah have the same gematria, and there's some connection between the mikvah and the name of Hashem, which is Ehaya, which we now have to explore. We're on the bottom of the page now. When the Ramban explains what does Hashem mean when he says Ehaya Asher Ehaya, Mivar de Shem Zeh Shava Be'etzem L'Shem Havaya. Really, the name Ehaya is very similar to what other name of Hashem? Yud Hey Vav Hey. There's a lot of similar letters there. You have two Heys in both of them, right? We have a Yud in both of them. What's the difference? Right? You have one has a Vav and one has a Kuf. Ehaya, one has an aleph and the other one has a yud. That's the only difference. It's the same letters. They both have a hey, two heys, yud hey, vav hey, aleph hey, yud hey, vav yud hey. They both ehaya, yud hey, both have a yud. I'm sorry, they both have a yud. Each has a yud, but one has an aleph and one has a vav. That's the difference. One is aleph. But three out of the four letters are exactly the same. So there's a similar root to them. The shorish beis Hashem Masechot, the same root, Diesh Bem Yosios Yud and Hey. They have the letters Yud and Hey. Elohachiluk, and what's the difference? Husheshem Havaya, the name of Hashem, Yud, Hey, Vav, Hey, the essential name of Hashem, Hu Alhimatso Yisparach Vavet. It's referring to when there's the presence of Hashem in the present time. Visham, Visham, Ehaya, Hu Al Sha'asidlios. That's, it will be in the future. I will be, Yudhei Vavhei. It's a promise for the future. Shabena time, in the meanwhile, Eina Yedua, El Hashem Yisrochavad. Only Hashem knows about it, up to now. Umitpateach, Vihiskalot, Lovia. It will evolve and reveal itself. Vilios Havaya, Behove, it will eventually become. Alright? So what is he saying? Yudhei Vavhei is the way Hashem's name can be known to everybody. The Ehaya means it will be known. It's not yet there. It's only known to Hashem, but it will be known to everybody else. So that's when Hashem told Moshe, Ehaya Sheria, I will be what I will be. People will eventually see the great hand of Yudhei Vavhei when Hashem takes us out of Mitzrayim. But right now, my name is, we're preparing for that. We're preparing to show the Yudhei Vavhei of Hashem's name. But it's not actually happening yet. Vinei, Havaya hu hara hachazaka v'yoser shel nesinas hamatzias. The word Yudhei Vavhei, that is the strongest lesson about the concept of giving existence. Which means, of all the names of Hashem, this is the deepest of Hashem's names. The Hashem Yisbarach Mahava Makayim Es Hadover. Hashem maintains and keeps the thing as it is. V'akein Shem Havaya Mora Al Derech HaChesed. Therefore, the name of Yudhei Vavhei teaches us about kindness. Because why? The Chesed Hu Nesinas HaMetzias B'li Hagbalav of Korban Shel Koach Adin. Chesed is giving reality without any limitations, without any destruction that comes from the power of judgment. It's pure giving, pure bringing into existence. The name Ehaya is a preparation for that reality that will actually happen where Hashem is giving total existence in a way that we understand it. Next page. Now, he has to go and explain another topic. So that's one idea. Another idea is, what's this whole idea of Tumah? When we talk about Tumah, ritual impurity, what does it really mean? What is really going on? You know, when we touch a dead body, you are tummy. What does that really mean? You know, it's not something physical, but it's definitely something spiritual going on. And what is going on in the spiritual realm? He explains now. Because remember, we go to the mikvah to take away tumah. You have to understand, if you're using a mikveh to take off tumah, you got to understand what tumah is, and you don't understand what the mikveh is providing in regards to tumah. Now, this mikveh aspect is the same thing for a man who's going Erev Shabbos, the same thing when a woman goes during her monthly cycle. No different going to the mikveh, no different than anybody who would ever be tumah and go to a mikveh. The idea of tumah means the absence of reality. Something existed, and then it stops existing anymore. That tumah comes in the wake and in the vacuum that is created when a prior existence no longer exists. He explains. Rov rubam shel avas ha-tumas. You look at the majority of the strong tumas in the world. Heim b'shlila sachayim. It's with non-existence of life. U'beheder ha-kim shalom. And the non-existence of the maintenance of the person. Or with regard to an animal or a creeping, crawling insect, right? In other words, or take away a little bit of its life, like a mitzara. For example, a mitzara is tame. Now, what does it mean? He's not dead, but the Gemara says mitzara chashav kames. Someone who's a mitzara, he's a dead person. We're not going to go into that now, but even though he's physically alive, but emotionally and intellectually and spiritually, he's very much dead. So therefore, there's a loss of metzias to the person, similar to vizav and the tumas zav as well. The tumas akelim va'ochlim va'ashkim hurak tolada v'kabalas tuma, and the tuma that comes to utensils or food or liquids, that's just a subcategory of these things, and it receives tuma. Aval mekor shel tuma, but the root of tuma, hu nasa rak al yedei heder chiyus v'kiyum. It happens only when there is an absence of life and maintenance, a maintained existence. Okay, then you can skip the bracket over there. There's a little bracket there. Tumas later. V'hainu. What does he mean to say? Shenidvak b'chetz cheftza koach shel heder shlila. There is attached, it clings to this item, a power of the absence of negativity. V'zeh tumah, so that's its tumah. V'atikin l'zeh v'atfilu b'mikvah, and the repair of that is going into the mikvah. It's interesting. He says in the brackets, even if someone came in contact with the dead, and you have to sprinkle the para aduma water with the ashes and the water on a person, the person still has to go to the mikvah even after that. So the mikvah corrects this. How? The skulas ha-mikvah, the charm of the mikvah. What happens from the mikvah? He lahafkias koach ahead of our korban. It is to remove the power of absence and destructions. Unesinas mitzvus given. It gives reality and it gives existence. Kavishni is far kfar barucha, like we already explained in great detail. Da mikvah mushes b'maimer yikavamaim. Because the mikvah is rooted in the words, let us gather the water together. It's a repair to the destructive forces of this water, which water wants to take away mitzias. In other words, the water, when it covered up the entire world, there was no world. There was no world because it was being submerged in water. The mitzias, the reality of the world, couldn't come into being because the water was surrounding it all. So water, the great destructive waters, is what destroys mitzias. That's what water is able to do. You put anything in the water, over time it will corrode. Water is very corrosive. And therefore, when on the second day of creation, God said there's water over the world, what Hashem was in fact having happen is that there is no reality to this world. It's submerged in water. Now that is, for all intents and purposes, a tum'ah. As we will explain in great detail shortly, tum'ah means the absence of reality. So what happened? How do we create the reality? On the third day, Hashem says, let all the water come to one place. So now it allows all the earth to be revealed, and now reality can return to the world. So the whole concept of a mikvah, where you gather the water together, is to enable reality to once again return to its rightful place. Valkei, therefore, ha-mikvah machkias ha-tumah, and therefore the mikvah takes away the tumah. She'inyona heder mitzias, because tumah means the absence of reality. U'machzira osol mitzias kemes, and it brings it back to a maintained reality. Okay, you follow? So tumah means the absence of existence. the absence of reality, which will be further defined in the next few paragraphs. So you don't have to understand everything yet, right? Just understand the ideas that we're saying. Tumah means there was a reality and it's gone. The fact that it's gone, that's Tumah. And the water covered over the entire world, for as far as we're concerned, reality was gone. When Hashem said, Yikavu Amayim, bring the water back into one place, collect in one place, therefore you're allowing a new reality to emerge, that is showing you that it's in the power of bringing water together, has that power of taking away Tumah. How this happens, we'll have to explain. Now, he has to explain another thing now. V'nei Tochen, in the next paragraph, V'nei Tochen, in Shal Shabbos, what's the deeper concept of Shabbos Kodesh? Mefurash means to say Mefurash b'matpeh Tfilas Arbi Shabbos. It's very clearly expressed in the Friday night davening. In the Friday night davening, you say, Ato kidashtes yom ha-shvili l'shmecha. Hashem, you sanctified the seventh day for your name. What does that mean? Do yom shemiskala bo shema miyuchad. It's a day in which Hashem's name is revealed. Which name? The Shem Havaya Baruch Hu, the name of Yud Hey Vav Hey. On Shabbos, Hashem's reality is clear for those who can see. That the creation elevates itself and binds itself more so to Hashem, who is the source of everything. And that gives the world greater reality and greater existence. Why? Because when you get close and you cling to Hashem, that's the root of all reality. That's the power of the reality of that thing. You see, Shabbos is a day where things come closer to Hashem. The closer you are, now what is reality? This is what he's starting to tell us. What is reality? Reality is Hashem. Hashem is reality, and everything that is connected to Hashem makes it connected to reality. That's what Mitzius is. Mitzius is something connected exactly to its source. We said many, many moons ago, the whole idea of Mitzius comes from the word Yatzah, to move from one place to another. When looking something from the past to the present to the future, seeing the totality of that. And the totality of everything is what? It always goes back to Hashem. If you want to know what Mitzius is, Mitzius means from the word Yatzah, where the reality always comes from something. So all Mitzius comes from Hashem.
Also, Nimtzo
Oto. I'm sorry?
Mitzius is to find Him.
To find Him. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Find Hashem.
But He doesn't seem to be here. But this reality has Yatzah. Has moved from the source. The source of all reality comes from Hashem. Now it goes all over the place. Now you're looking at things all over the place. And you're trying to see its Mitzius. It's reality. Now, it's only real if it's connected back to Hashem. That's what's real. If it doesn't appear connected to Hashem, then we have a problem. That we say that's the whole reason it's called Yitziat Mitzrayim. Yitziat Mitzrayim. The world finally saw that the world comes from somewhere. And it moved us out of the Mitzrayim understanding, where the total Tumah means is this thing has nothing to do with Hashem. This thing has nothing to do with Hashem. It's not connected to Hashem. When you see something that's not connected to Hashem, that's Tumah. Because it's not connected to its Mitzius. It's not connected to its reality. If a person dies, the body seems to be not connected to Hashem anymore, because the neshama has left. So the real reality of the person is not connected to Hashem anymore. And a person perceives that as not being connected to Hashem, and that brings a tumah that shows that person's not understanding the Mitzius that's there anymore. So on Shabbos, everything is sanctified. Hashem's name is made holy, because everything in this world on Shabbos can be perceived to be much more connected to Hashem, if you have the right kind of eyes. That's what Shabbos can do. Shabbos brings Mitzius to everything. A whole week long, you don't understand why this is happening and this is happening. There's so many conflicting things happening that you don't know where it's coming from. And it confuses you. On Shabbos, you have the ability to watch as everything stops and just kind of moves right back to its source. and you have the ability to see that Hashem is the source, mamish, of everything in the world. And this is the Yud Hei Vav Hei that Shabbos brings. This is the name of Hashem comes out. Now it's very clear what we said before. That the mikvah is one of the pathways of Aleph Hei Yud Hei. The mikvah in Yonah Hafkos Ederson, we said, the mikvah is removing the absence of the reality. And that rests in Tuma. Uknisa lahavayim says, but rather bringing things to its reality. Vatfilah b'Erev Shabbos. Now if you go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos, ki hachona lahavayim to Shabbos Kodesh. It's a preparation for the name of Yudei Vavei, which is on Shabbos. You can purify yourself from the tuma and the absence of life that's connected to you. And now you're prepared to receive the name of Hashem of permanence of Shabbos. That's mamish what Eliyah is. It's the development of the name of Hashem. In other words, Erev Shabbos is the preparation for Shabbos. Eheyeh means it's the step before the future that Hashem will become revealed. Shabbos is when you have the Yudei Vavei, Hashem is revealed. Friday is this Eheyeh aspect, and how do we make this Eheyeh? How do we prepare ourselves for this? We prepare ourselves for this by doing another thing that's an Eheyeh aspect, which is the mikvah, which is Gematria Eheyeh. And just like the original mikvah, when Hashem took all the waters of the world and collected them in one place, it enabled clarity to come into the world. It enabled reality to come into the world. So every mikvah has that capability of enabling, not yet, the reality is still not there yet. On the third day, man wasn't born, wasn't created. Without man, you're never going to get to that completion. But at least the waters moved aside that a man could live there. So it's a first step preparation for the ultimate reality connection to Hashem. That's what a mikvah is able for us to do. Erev Shabbos is the day that prepares us for this. And the man is the one who's going to take all this and make it connected. And the man goes into the mikvah getting ready for the Shabbos when it ultimately will happen on the Shabbos. We're putting all the pieces of the puzzle together. Every Erev Shabbos, when you go to the mikvah, you're reenacting the creation of the man who now has the ability to make and connect all of reality, everything that's here, to its ultimate reality. And to prepare the man for that job, he goes into the mikvah because the mikvah accomplishes that same thing. That's the thought you have to have when you go into mikvah. No different, and not on Erev Shabbos. A woman goes in her monthly cycle. She has to come back and seeing that the tumma that she had, where there was death, so to speak, where the blood comes out from her, and it appears there's no reality coming, so she has to come back into the mikvah and bring everything back to its source again. That's what, and in general, whenever you go to the mikvah, that's the idea you're trying to bring about over here. That's why the chassidim, they go every day, even before davening. Because davening is a time where you can come back to the source. Every time you daven, you really are acknowledging that everything is connected to Hashem. You need a preparation for that. So you go, that's why the chassidim go to mikvah every single day. Before davening, they go to the mikvah. Because that will be not everybody's got the time to every day to the mikvah. But at least on Erev Shabbos, the same idea comes into being. But now he has to give it a little bit more depth over here. Okay, Nikon, bottom of the paragraph. Nikon is bez Hashem yisporach l'tzir adram. Now let's try to put a picture to all this over here. Mao tochan shuzachayim. What does it mean? We're talking about shlilat hachayim, the removal of life. Sheyesh b'tumah, that's in tumah. V'tikun al mikvah tahara, and the repair is in the mikvah. He says like this. V'nei, and I've already kind of spoken it out, so we can get through it, but now we're going to see it inside. V'nei shorish inin ha-tumah shedavah b'adam, the root of all tumah that's attached to a person, whom he us chait eitz hadas. It's from the sin after man ate from the tree of knowledge. That's when the good and the evil got all mixed up. Because the Eitz Hadas called the Eitz Hadas Tov Hara, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Where before Adam ate from the Eitz Hadas, good and evil were very distinctly different. But after he ate, things became very confusing. The Kochas HaTuma Nisarva B'Kochas HaKdusha. And forces of Tuma mixed into forces of holiness. And that's when the Tuma of birth and blood to flow from a person came in terms of chava. V'usharish kol mitzias atum b'chlau, and that's the root of all tumah in general. V'eitz hadas yasivu l'churban mishal adam, and the eitz hadas is the reason for destruction of the human being. That man dies. That's also destruction. Hevech eitz hachayim shusiv esakiyum, which is the opposite tree of life, which is the source of all existence. And that's what we wrote earlier. That tumah is the absence of reality. Since the tumah coming into reality, it comes from the power of the blemish of the Eitz Hadas. So the mikvah has to be a repair for the repair of Das. It has to repair Das. In other words, now we're saying one more step. Tumah comes. Tumah means where things are not connected to its source. How can you make that stupid mistake and not connect things to a source unless there's something wrong with your Das? Das means to live in the complete reality of what's going on over here. The Eitz HaDas distorted the reality of Das. It gave us subjectivity that made us think that things are not exactly how they are. Now, we have to repair that. And by doing that, we have to repair it with the power of Das. Okay? That's what has to happen. You have to repair it with Das. So, the mikvah, somehow, is a repair of the Das. Again, real Das, means to live in the reality, and the ultimate reality of all existence is that everything is connected back to Hashem. As simple as it sounds, it's so hard to implement. To realize that everything comes from Hashem is just very, very hard. And every single movement, every single limb, even the worst rush in the world, he does the worst things to people. It's all coming from Hashem. That's a very hard concept for people to integrate. And that's what the Eitz HaDas confused people and allowed us to look at things not connected to Hashem. Looking at it as a separate entity from Hashem. And the Das is in, and we have to correct that. So impurity means a lack of Das. Purity means reinstatement of the Das. The mikvah takes off the tumah. So the mikvah, by definition, is a repair of the Das. And how is it a repair of the Das? By taking all the things, the water, when it was all over the world, and it confused and covered up reality, it moved it all to the side, it allows reality to emerge, and that becomes the intrinsic holy power of a mikvah, that it allows reality to once again emerge. That's what comes. Now, the next paragraph is a little bit of a complicated paragraph, and I can say it, but I think I'm going to skip it. It gets the complicated piece of Gemara. And at the end of the day, he doesn't say more than what he's said already. So, so let's just
skip it.
I'm going to skip it, although he brings out from that piece that a human being really is no different than a utensil that can become tameh, and that has to be made holy as well. So when a human being, just like we put utensils in a mikvah, and the utensil can be made holy, and a utensil can be made impure, a human being who is like a utensil, and is able to receive tumah, and a human being is able to bring tahara as well. So I'm just going to skip that paragraph and move on to the next one. The Yesod Zeh, this fundamental point, Sheyesh tefila lepgam hadas. There is a concept of going to the mikvah to repair the flaw of das. Really, mefurish barashi. It's explicit Rashi in Maseches Brachos. The Neis Hashem, the Ezra tikkun tefilas lebalikari. Ezra instituted a law we don't have nowadays, but there is he instituted that a person cannot learn Torah, cannot say Shema, if he has a seminal discharge. He can't. He was asleep and he had a discharge. He has to go to the mikvah first. You have to go to the mikvah. Now, what did he base it on? He based it on a pasuk that hints to this. It says, and make this known. We're das, vodata. Make this known to your sons and your grandsons. And what is it connected to? What should be known? Asher amartol fneshem ochrecha b'chayiv. That Hashem stood you before him. You stood before Hashem at Mount Sinai. Now what's the connection between Mount Sinai and making this known to your children? Just like at Sinai, there was fear, trepidation, trembling, sweat. Afkan, so too, when you're teaching your children Torah, when you're learning Torah, it should be the same thing. And that's das, vodatam, make them known. Upirish Rashi, and Rashi says, important point, the Balkari ain't only mitoch kalos rosh v'seichus adas. A Balkari, a person has a seminal discharge, it's only why? Because he becomes light-headed and not so clear in his das. I don't know, what's the word zechus mean?
Zechut. Like
no, that's what a ches, with a ches. Okay. Not a chav.
In control.
So, I don't know, it doesn't fit in the context here. That's the problem. It only comes from kalos rosh, lightheadedness. So it must be some kind of a flaw in das. I'm not sure what that word means exactly, but some kind of a flaw in das. Rashi's saying a person has a discharge at night. It's because he's not really focused on his das. How does the mikveh repair this flaw in the das? Person wants to have lofty thoughts. He just gets them going to the mikvah? But the answer is, but what is Rashi telling you? You can purify, you can put your das into the mikvah. That the lack of das, the lightheadedness, can be repaired by going to the mikvah. That's an absolute proof. Since the Rambam, when he talks about mikvah, he calls it the Mei Hadas, the waters of knowledge. So we see from this Rashi that the mikvah has the power to bring das back to a person. That's what the power of mikvah is. Okay, so now, the Shabbos has the power of bringing das into the creation. As it says, Acha Shabsosai Tishmaru, you should keep my Shabbos. Look what it says. Why? Ladas, to know. I'm Hashem made you holy. Again, Shabbos can give you that das, to have that connectivity to the source. Shabriya Misalam Imakab Tviusa, Shieshma Tarus Rabatov, that the creation can come from its natural state of a combination of evil and good. Lamakam Elyon Amashumara, to an elevated place that has no evil. Eitz Hadas Tov Bovad. It's just the Eitz Hadas that's good, just good, without any evil. That's what Shabbos can do. V'achonu l'kach. And how do you prepare that? Ayidei Atfilu b'mikveh Shabbos. Go to the mikveh on Shabbos. Shechol Tara Al Koach Hadash L'adam. Now it begins to bring a tahara, a purity, to the power of das of the person. It now gives the ability to get the complete purification of the das that comes on Shabbos Kodesh. Okay. So now, he's going to further elaborate this idea. But what are we putting together? It's piece after piece after piece is coming here. So again, the mikvah is the preparation to bring us to the name of Hashem's name. Then understanding Hashem's name is complete metzias, is complete reality. Das means you're able to put the pieces together to make this complete reality. The mikvah is able to purify the das of a person. Right? These are all the pieces that we are putting together over here. And the human being is the only one who has das, potential das, who can bring everything back to the source of Hashem. You have a beautiful world out there, but how does it have any focus? The human being takes it and focuses all to Hashem. If he has the right amount of das. During the week, we struggle with this das. During the week, we're challenged and we see the evil and we think it's good and we hope we'll make the right decisions. On Shabbos, you know, everything is exactly the way it should be. We have to be prepared to be able to live in that reality. And the mikvah, just like on day 3, was the preparation for man to come into the world. So therefore, going into a mikvah is a preparation for the man that's meant to live in the world of Shabbos that has the clarity before he sinned from the Eitz Hadas. Okay, let's continue on the next page. See if we can try to finish this all up here. We'll see. Inyan Zeh, this idea of the purity of the power of Das from Mikvah, Mukusha and Ramel, it's all connected to what we said before. Shebekoach HaMikvah LaHavkiy Es Koach HaMach V'Yishmaim. The power of the Mikvah is to take away the destructive power of water. When man ate from the Eitz Hadas, it distanced him from the tree of life. That once he ate from the Eitz Hadas, was decreed upon him the decree of death. Then he was prohibited to eat from the tree of life. But once you get purity of the power of Das, then you get closer to the tree of life. And you get closer to Hashem's Yud Hei Vav Hei and reality. And on the holy Shabbos, when the power of Das gets clarified, the world gets closer to the tree of life. That becomes a revelation of Hashem's real name on Shabbos. According to the mikvah, is the greatest preparation for that. Why? You receive a purity of das. You're now able to receive the complete purity on Shabbos. And therefore you can get this reality. Now he explains a little bit more why. He says, "But Yosef here to explain a little more." The body and the soul are two pathways of God's conduct. Meaning to say, the body has really within it an entire world, has all the forces of the world. That's like the name of Hashem, Elohim, Olam Malay, all these disparate forces that go all over the place. That's the body. The body's a microcosm of every single force that's going all over the world. You know, my different emotions, anger, kindness, sympathy, different feelings, mercy. They're all over the place. And they may not be controlled. And they may be in conflict. But the neshama is totally connected to the source of everything. Shemo, that's Hashem's complete name. And the whole job of the soul is to conduct and lead the body to elevate and to purify it, to focus it to the will of Hashem only. And on Shabbos is the day that Hashem's ultimate name is revealed. It's with the pathway of the neshama. That's what it means that you have an extra soul on Shabbos. You have a neshama yisera. You have the extra ability to connect things via the neshama. Now, here's the problem though. As much as the neshama yisera is activated on Shabbos, the body has to be willing to be directed. But for the physical body to receive the orders from the neshama and the insight and the das, and to be led by the neshama, we first have to purify the body. The body has to be pure, it has to be amenable to the das that the neshama is giving it. That's going to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. It purifies the body from the blemish of the incorrect das that came from sin, it came from tumah. The body is very happy to be misled, and to be misled and to be very far away from Hashem and not see Hashem. And we gotta knock that out. The Erev Shabbos was man binyan aguf adayin, because Erev Shabbos was still trying to build up the body properly. Then it's ready to receive the neshama yisera. That the body should adjust itself and be ready for the movements that the neshama brings in on Shabbos Kodesh. So the Chayyim writes, once you go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos with the right intention to accept the Shabbos properly, look what you got to do. He says, Yavim bedaito. He has to know. He's got an extra neshama. He's got to know. He's got to feel that he is getting an extra neshama is coming very soon. He has to feel in his soul the fear of God's majesty that comes to him until a love of Hashem comes and a fear of Hashem. Okay. In other words, you have to begin to realize what's happening when you're going out of the mikvah. As you're going out of the mikvah, right, you have to realize that you are now bringing in the Kedusha Shabbos and you're getting a neshama yisera, and you have to begin to feel God's presence.
And the Shabbos.
What?
What's with women?
Good question. Women, well, you'll see in a minute. You'll see in a minute. I'll tell you. The next, I hope
they
the next.
They light the candle.
They light the candle. That's one thing. But you'll see in a minute. There's something else. You'll see in 1 second. Just wait. The next paragraph, I think, will give us an answer to that. V'shalah HaKadosh, and the Shalah writes in this, Hevi v'shem HaKan Fayoni, brings from one of the commentaries, Shezach HaRaus, those who have really good vision, unbelievable spiritual vision, Kesha'olad min HaMikvah, when a person goes out of the mikvah, they'll see Ke'ein Ashan Mala B'Partzufim Kitanim. He'll see like aid, he sees like kind of mist comes off from the person. From the fingernails of the person. In other words, as if the 6 days of the week are evaporating off from the body. You have to have really good vision. We don't have this kind of vision. You can see Mamash almost like a mist coming off your fingernails. Something's leaving you.
Leaving you, right? Wow.
The hatvila huzik lachuv liyos ruchani yoser. Mikvah purifies the body to be more spiritual. V'yucholios beis kibol. It's now a receptacle. For the name of Hashem that comes on Shabbos Kodesh. Okay, so now how is this happening? How is this happening? He's still missing one more point over here. He's telling me that the mikvah can purify my body. Okay, my body has to be willing to hear the message of the Neshama Yisera. The Neshama Yisera can be sending out the message all day long on Shabbos, but the body's just into other things. The antennas aren't up. Going into the mikvah is saying that now I'm preparing my body to pick up the messages from the soul so it can pick up more das, it's ready to have this. So what do you need to do? What's this one more point? Last section. Isa v'sifrei Musar writes in the Musar's form, the lifnei atfilu b'mikvah, before you go into the mikvah, yishpor libo b'achna b'tshuva, you should break your heart with hachna, with humility and tshuva. You have to have big hachna. You have to surrender before Hashem, and you have to do big tshuva before Hashem. Now that's what it says. It's before you go to the mikvah. Va'peirish haparshut b'zeh. What's the simple meaning? Sham mikvah yicholol ha'os darom agvava yo acher. Since the mikvah can take you to a higher level. So now, so it's good, it's better to free yourself from all the negative things to be a better base kibul, to be a better receptacle. If Hashem wants to pour in kedusha, you gotta get rid of the blockers. The things that are blocking the kedusha. So by making yourself humble, you're able to feel that. And that's what it says in the Shari Tshuva in the brackets, you know, regret. Regret and leaving a sin is like going to a mikvah. That's why if you do tshuva but don't regret your sin, it's like you're going into a mikvah with a sheretz in your hand. Go to a mikvah with a sheretz in your hand. How can you ever be tar? If you're doing tshuva but you don't leave the sin, right? You regret but you don't leave the sin. So what does it help? You've got to make the proper receptacle for the tshuva to help, for the mikvah to help. But the more refined way of looking at this, the deeper way is, the name of Urba Chazal, the rabbi tells us, the Zohar tells us, the Gamlulei Cheto, Shalodim Arisha, next page, if there wouldn't have been, what would happen if the first man would not have sinned? Do you think people would never have died? He says, no, man would have died. Would have been altogether different. Still, people would have died. El Shlohaya Bitsir Shalchurban Veres, but wouldn't be under the picture of destruction. Now when we die, we fall apart. We get sick, chas v'shalom. And it's always a very not pleasant experience. Death is never an pleasant experience. Somehow the body has to break down, which is a destruction of the person, as it were. It didn't have to be that way. Had man not sinned, it would have been Ela Bitsir Shalaliyah. It would have been a picture of growth. Now that's very interesting. But think of this concept. What the Zohar is really saying is, when a person moves from one level to another level, that is really called, generically, mita, death. Why? Because it's death to the lower level. When you live your life on a certain level, and now you make a lot of work to upgrade and live on a higher level, that is existentially called death. Why? Because it's death to the old level. That old level doesn't exist anymore. Let's say you're leaving a superficial life. You always let us, always judge people by how they looked. Everything is outlooked. All of a sudden you work on yourself. You know, looking at things, wait, that's not the way to look at life. You have to go much deeper. From now on, I'm always looking at something on a deeper level. So the old way of life, where he looked at things superficially, is dead. It doesn't exist anymore. It's not the way he operates anymore. That's what death is. So let's think about this. When you leave this world, what is really happening? You're going to a higher level of existence. Now, man was always meant to go to a higher level of existence, even had he never sinned. So what would have happened? What would have happened is, but who said we had to die with so much pain and suffering and this and that? It didn't have to be that way. It could have been in a way of aliyah. Meaning to say, it would be like very simple. Shahaya Ozev Gufo Baba said, he would just leave his body. Leave the body behind. And go to a higher world. Umagilu Shem is going to come to complete perfection. V'dugma Ketanel said, what's a small example of this? Nistalkus Olinav, when Eliyahu left the world. Eliyahu didn't die. It was a fiery chariot.
Yeah, but
he went into the chariot.
Live the body and the soul should be lived together.
You don't need the body. You don't need the body.
So how you know? Eliyahu,
it says, Shehashir is Kufo. Yeah, but he left.
His, today we live the body.
His soul left the body. And the body went in the chariot. He went into the chariot, but he went off. But then his neshama left the body. Vinisal Yaskuma, but then he became an angel. Eliyahu became an angel. But he didn't go through the pains of death. In other words, it's like, you know, when you decommission a vessel. You decommission it. You know, what do you do? What do you do when a boat's been, a big battleship's been, you know, been serving the United States for 50 years, and it's outdated. What do you do with it? They don't blow it up. They decommission it. They decommission it. They say, okay, we'll put you to the side to be in a museum, but we're not going to use you anymore. But we don't blow it up. To decommission something, it no longer need. We don't need you anymore. We don't have to destroy you. We could decommission the body. Say, okay, thank you. You did a good job. Yes, your quiet body. Just rest now. We're moving on to the next reality. And he says, "Vizel inin shal shviras halev v'mikvah." That's the idea of breaking your heart before the mikvah. The shviras halev hu bechina shel misa. Breaking the heart is an aspect of death. Al dasa gemara, the shviras kelim haina misosim. We said that if you have a utensil that is tame, let's say an earthenware utensil that you can't kosher. So what do? How do you kosher it? You break it. You smash it. And it says, breaking it, that's their death. It takes off the tumah that's on it. Abnam, eno misa, soheris v'chorban, but it's not one of destruction, the death. Elahepech, mistalek, miguv v'glusha, but the opposite. You're just leaving from the body that's so physical. Umisalu, lametre, gavoyos, you go to a higher level. Therefore, you're able to get more purification of das by going to the mikvah. She's talking kufa liyos rechavios, so the body can be now more refined. She's ready to receive the kedusha on Shabbos. So what he's saying is, you have to have a lot of humility when you go into the mikvah. Part of the whole process, it's a domino effect. On Shabbos, you want to be exposed to the Shem Hashem. You want to be exposed to bring everything to its source of reality. That body is not ready for that. Your body, after the sin of the Eitz Hadas, is not ready to hear the realities of life at all. So you got to prepare that body for that. So what are we doing? We go take the mikvah. The mikvah is able to prepare that body. It's just like the mikvah itself was able to take away the confusion of the world, take away the destruction forces of the water, and the mikvah has the ability to refine the das of a person. But your das can never be refined if you think you're Mr. Smarty Pants. If you think you know everything, then the mikvah isn't going to help you. And therefore you have to do big tshuva. And why is it that we don't connect things to the source? Because we have our own ideas of where things belong. We have our own ideas. You know, because of my arrogance, I think it should be this way, it should be that way. And the more input you put in, the less input you're taking from Hashem. And therefore you're not ready to hear what Hashem wants to put, how he wants to connect things back to their source. So therefore, you have to do a lot of tshuva from the arrogance that exists. And therefore, the body is not yet ready to take it. You could say that a woman, because she's never in control of her body, a woman is just not in control during those formative, those years of life and productivity, she has no control of her body. So there's already a great shvira slave for a woman. And therefore, there's less focus of what the body is. And the body is more amenable to receiving the instructions from the neshama. A man can do what he wants. Whenever he goes on a trip, he doesn't have to worry, maybe my period's going to come today. A woman, you know, she gets her period, she could get knocked out. Some women have very hard periods. They have to take medicines or this. They have to sit in bed for 2 days. They already know. They already know that there's something controlling them. So they don't have that kind of ego problems. Remember, those ego problems don't enable the mikveh to work. A woman by nature, because she is one who has the capability of giving birth to children, she has a more innate understanding of what das is all about. She has a better understanding of that idea. She has a greater bina than man has. So she's not able to make as many mistakes. She sees the connection much clearer. She brought life into the world herself. A man never brought life into the world herself. Sure, she gets neshama yisera on Shabbos. But she doesn't have the same challenge as the man, and therefore is not required for that. And on the other end, she lights the candles. She has a different tikkun she makes by lighting the candles, making the challahs, keeping the hilchas nida, because she goes to the mikvah on a different cycle. The man goes on a weekly cycle, she goes on a monthly cycle. So it's not like she doesn't have a cycle, but she's doing other things on Erev Shabbos to bring that into reality. Yeah, all those hachanas, right? And that's what we were saying in that first shmooze 2 weeks ago. Remember we said, why did the great rabbis lower themselves to clean the floor, chop the vegetables? What was all idea? It's to show that the body's not important. If the body's not important, then the neshama can be important. So now you're a very important body. You think you know everything. You think that what's here is the reality. You don't connect it to Hashem. So you've got to, that's all coming from your body. So you've got to purify the body. The body's got the problem. So the body has to go into the mikvah. The body has to learn that just like the mikvah brought clarity to the world, it can bring clarity to your body. But your body has to be willing to accept that clarity. And that's why you need to do tshuva right before you go to the mikvah. So that the mikvah is able to purify the das that comes from the person, that comes from your physical way of looking at the world with an incorrect perception of the world, to purify that idea, it's like a mikvah for the mind. Your brains are going to the mikvah. You gotta get your brains rinsed out. That's what, even though it's your body, but it's really your brains are getting rinsed out. Okay, last paragraph. There's even an easier preparation for Shabbos. It says in the Mechilta, 6 days of the work day you will work and do all your work. But you have to see as if all your work is done. That's another thing. You have to see as if all your work is done. It's also removing yourself from the physicality of this world of activity. You go into a spiritual world that has something to do with work. In other words, that world that you work in has to die so that you can live in the world of Shabbos. That's the reason why we don't work on Shabbos, to get out of the physical world. But it's not, you can't compare it to a mikvah. It purifies the person from any blemish and sin that has stuck to him. And now the body is ready to receive the Kedush Shabbos. So that's why it's such an important thing for a man to go to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. The body is still not yet ready to take the messages of the Neshama Yisera. And by incorporating these two fantastic ideas of a human being where a soul could mamish take everything in the world and connect it to its source with the greatest of das, but the body is not allowing that to happen. Just like you take any utensil that's removed from reality, your body is removed from reality. During the 6 days of the week, you don't understand the real reality. You gotta put that body that has created all kinds of tumah within yourself and flush it out. to get it to understand the reality of Yikavu Amayim, that everything does have a source. And that's the machshavas you have to have. But it only can happen if you do tshuva and have a broken heart before you go into the mikvah, to enable those waters to do that to you. If you enable those waters to do that to you, and then you've come out of the mikvah, now the body is totally ready to take in whatever the neshama Yisera is going to give it to him, and to be zeichet to have that experience on Shabbos.
Amen.
These are hard concepts. It's not an easy class. It's not an easy class. Hopefully next week it'll get a little bit easier.
Okay,
next Wednesday, we're on track.
We're on track.
Yeah. Next week, Shkaya. Shkaya.